Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
It's a blessing that every Sunday we have testimonies coming up daily, and we thank God for the many testimonies, and I know that God is going to continue to give us testimonies. Hallelujah. Amen. Time is far gone. So we want to continue from where we ended at the watch night concerning with the topic at hand, as they ministered to the Lord. Hallelujah. And I've quickly loaded the message, yesterday's message, on the podcast, so that those of us who were not able to join us for the watch night, we can be able to follow up with what we're going to do today. Hallelujah. So as the custom is, we want to take our anchor scriptures. We want to read the book of let's start with the book of Psalms chapter 149. Psalm 149. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise him. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel, and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let their high praise of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with feathers of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. If you are using hard copy Bible, take note of the point. This honor have all his saints. Hallelujah. Second reading, the book of Psalms chapter 26 verse 7. Psalms chapter 26 verse 7. That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Hallelujah. Last reading, the book of Acts chapter 16 verse 24 to 26. Who, having received such a charge, trusted them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Hallelujah. Somebody singing praise unto the Lord. Hallelujah. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Hallelujah. We are still on Teach Us to Pray, and we are on the sub-series, The Rules of Engagement. Last week, we started with the forms of prayer, and we discovered the impact of the prayer of what? Supplications. Is that not it? And in our study, we found out that there are forms of prayers that we ought to offer. And Paul, in his teachings to the church of Ephesus through Timothy, he told them that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made unto all saints. So Paul listed some of what? The forms of prayers that we need to focus on. And today it pleases the Lord that we will look at another form of prayer, which I have titled As They Ministered to the Lord. We have already dealt with the first part of this at the watch night, because it was relating to our watch night. So I'm just continuing from where we ended at the watch night. But to help you to appreciate what we are going to do right now, I want to use some few minutes to summarize what we talked about on Friday, the watch night. So the point we established on Friday was that we are priests. Is that not it? By birth. We are priests by birth. And when I'm talking by birth, I'm talking by spiritual birth. So whoever is born again is a priest. So the Bible said he has made us priests and kings unto us, the glory of his Father. And in the study of priesthood, we found out that priesthood exists because of what? Ministry. The word priesthood, the first time the office of a priest was established, it came along with what? Priesthood. In the book of Exodus chapter 28, we found out that when Aaron was called and the Levites were called, the first time it was declared that there's an office of priesthood, it came that they will minister unto the Lord. So there cannot be priesthood without ministry. And there cannot be ministry without priesthood. That is why in the systems of the believer, there is what we call the ministry system. Therefore, every believer has something to offer, has a ministry to attend to. And in simple terms, ministry means what? Service. Now, in further studies, we find out that even though we are called to minister, our ministry or the office of the ministry that we attend to is divided into two folds. Number one, ministering unto what? The Lord, and ministering unto what? Unto the people. And we find from the Levitical order that by birth, the Levites, according to the arrangement of God, was Aaron and his descendants who were given the right to minister unto the Lord. When it was challenged, God responded. In further studies, we found out in the book of Ezekiel chapter 44 that God ideally was not only about the genealogy of Aaron, but the Levite, those who are called into priesthood, those who are able to keep up to the charge of God, that is those who are able to live by consecration life and do not veer away from the Lord shall call them to minister unto him. Are we there? And we found something very dangerous in the book of Ezekiel chapter 44, that people can go astray and still God will permit them to minister unto people. So what we were trying to establish on Friday was that as priests, we have to know that we are called, we have a duty of ministry, and our ministry is in two folds: ministering unto the Lord and ministering unto people. So we decided to investigate in the New Testament how this is achieved. And we found out that we can minister unto the Lord, or one of the forms we can minister unto the Lord is through prayer. It's not the only form. We can minister unto the Lord through other forms. But there's an aspect of prayer that is a ministry unto what? Unto God. So in Acts chapter 13, we found out that there were some prophets and teachers who gathered together, and as they ministered to the Lord, in the Passion Translation, it said, as they worship the Lord in prayer. So we found out that by prayer we can what? Minister to the Lord. That is what we got to last week. Is that not it? Friday. Is that not the point we ended on Friday? So if prayer, there's an aspect of prayer that we can minister unto the Lord, then we have to look into it. And we found out that that aspect is what we call worship. And worship, in simple terms, is when we praise God and we give thanks to God. Hallelujah. And we followed up in that, and we know that it takes pleasure. God takes pleasure in our worship because he created us for his what? His pleasure. So as a priest, if indeed you are a priest and you are living into the responsibility of priesthood, one of the things we will see is that you what? Minister to the Lord. And one of the forms you express that is in prayer. So we cannot study prayer, we cannot learn about prayer if we don't look at this aspect. Today we want to talk about the weight of ministering unto the Lord. Why is ministering unto the Lord very important? Now let's start. As Christians, we can all attest to this fact that one of the common form of prayer we pray at any gathering is the prayer of thanksgiving and praise. True of us. Irrespective of the occasion. Even at SHS, when you go for entertainment, you do open prayer. Don't you? You see, there are certain things we naturally practice, but have we ever thought of it? That there is no any gathering or any activity of the believer that do not require that there will be thanksgiving and praise. Irrespective of the occasion. as long as Christians gather. So this, irrespective of whatever the occasion is meant for, what we intend doing, or whatever reasons why we are gathering, praise and thanksgiving is a constant factor. And of course, even scripture demands, the word of God demands that we praise God and we ought to thank God. Can we read some few scriptures? Psalms chapter 9, verse 11. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in where? In Zion. Are we in Zion? Are we in Zion? The Bible said we are not in Zion. So it said, as long as you are in Zion, you have to do what? Sing praise to the Lord, which dwelleth in what? Zion. Declare among the people his doings. That is what? Thanksgiving. When we declare among the people the doings of the Lord, that is what? Thanksgiving. Let's read another scripture. Psalms chapter 147, verse 7. Psalms chapter 147, verse 7. Sing unto the Lord with what? Thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto Lord our God. Last reading, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything, do what? Give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So even scripture demands that at Zion we praise God. At everything we what? We thank God. So if everything, in practically everything we do, whether it's our personal prayer, whether devotion, or so, even if it's food, we thank God. Don't we? That means it's a critical thing we have to observe. Why is it that all around our life, all everything we do, this thing is very constant. Praise, thanksgiving. Why is it constant? Thanksgiving and praise is a form of worship to God. When we talk about worship, it is two things. Number one, the actual worship can be interpreted as to what? Adore somebody or to revere somebody. And if indeed we adore somebody or we revere a person, we acknowledge what they do in our life. And that is our thanksgiving. And also we tell people who they are. That is praise. Are we on the same page? So when we talk about worship, thanksgiving and praise, why it's common about? Because it's us worship. Therefore, if we indeed we are true worshipers, as scripture instructed us, then one of the constant things that will be seen about us is that at every instant we what? We will praise God and we what? We will thank God. We will praise God and we will what? We will thank God. Psalm 9 verse 1. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart, and I will show forth all thy marvelous. It is the habit of a worshiper to always praise God and show forth his what? His marvelous work. Thanksgiving. So if indeed you are a true worshiper, if you are a true worshiper, one of your habits is that at every instant you what? You praise and thank God. But this is not the whole actual issue of why this is a constant factor in our life. The reason why thanksgiving and praise is constant as long as we want to pray is because that whenever man wants to express need for God, man expresses need for God through praise and thanksgiving. Now follow me. Before God can step into the affairs of man, man must show an expression for the need of God. By the principle of creation, the system God put in place, he gave man total authority over this earth. Anytime man needs God to come into the affairs of this earth, the way and manner by which we do that is by what? Praise and thanksgiving. Therefore, what determines the interference of heaven in the affairs of earth is what leads earth to heaven. Are we there? Are we there? Are we there? Do you really get what I'm talking about? Man was meant to take charge of this place. God didn't create man to interfere in his activities like that. So anytime we want to show need for God, that we need him the first of man, what we do is that we create that desire for him through what? Thanksgiving and what? And praise. That is why at every instant you want to do something, praises is the first thing that you consider. When the praises goes up. So if you study the activity of heaven on earth, it's always the earth determining what will happen or not. What will happen from what? Heaven. If there is no desire from earth. So the Bible says Jacob, when he dreamt, he saw angels what? Ascending and what? Descending on a ladder. Ascending and what? Descending on a ladder. So if you really are interested in God coming, so if God wants to come and invade a territory, it is based on worship. That's why I'm separating it, praise and what? Thanksgiving. It's based on worship. When we worship God, God comes down. So can we read the book of Psalm 22 verse 23? Now I want to look at what happens when we praise God. I'll give you that scripture. So the point I want to establish to you, that the reason why when we gather every time, whatever reason we gather, whatever we are doing, we praise God, we thank God, is because whenever we want God to minister unto us, we minister to him first. And the principle of fellowship is that we minister to what? Each other. But the one who has to initiate the ministration is that it starts from man. Man must desire God. So when we minister to the Lord, he comes to minister to us. So if you are not a person who worship, who is not a true worshiper, and worship is not your life, you will find out that God cannot minister to you, because earth must initiate what heaven will do. You follow. You're going to see a lot. Why praise and thanksgiving is a constant factor in our life. Now let's start with praise. Are we giving the scripture I asked for? Psalms 22 verse 23. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all ye the seed of what? Israel. Let's read another scripture about praise. Psalm 47 verse 6. Jacob, the children of Jacob were instructed to praise him. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises. Unto our King, do what? Sing praises. Ah, Jesus. Psalm 150 verse 6. One very common scripture that we all know. Let everything that has breath, what? Is that not what is it? Yeah. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye. So why is the Bible always saying that praise God? Why is it that praise? What is about this thing about praise? The weight of ministering to the Lord. Why should we minister to God in praise? What is the weight about praise? Number one. Let's go. Because the Lord inhabits, or the Lord dwells in the praise of his people. The reason why it is always demanded that we praise God is that the only way God comes to dwell among his people is when praise. Now follow me very well. Psalm 22 verse 3. Psalm 22 verse 3. Wow, Jesus. Please make it a little bit fast. Okay, time. But thou art holy, O thou inhabits the praises of what? Israel. Now, let's examine this concept. God inhabits, God dwells. The throne of God is established at where the praise of Israel is. What is the weight about this very statement? Now, let's examine it. Spirit, by nature, will only leave their place of dwelling, their place of comfort, to come to earth when they find similar or this exact thing on it. Now, when God wanted to dwell among the people of Israel, he told them to do what? Build a tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle, it is God who gave every setup of the tabernacle to Moses. Spirits do not leave their place of abode and dwell in another place if that place will not give them the same comfort that they have at where they are. So this statement is not a light statement. That God dwells in the praise of his people is not a light word. Why will God dwell in our praise? God will dwell in our praise because, are you with me? I hope you understand why I said this statement and that statement. God is in heaven, he's in abode. But some say that where the praise of the people are, God dwells there. And I said that spirit will only leave their place of comfort to another place or to be at a place if that place is the same as where they are. So when the Bible said the believer or God dwells in the praise of his people, it's a weighty matter. Why would God do that? Let's look at it. Even though the earth belongs to God, he has given it unto man such that it is only on the invite of man that he can interfere or can feel welcome in the jurisdiction of man. God is invited when we acknowledge him as who he is and make declarations about who he is on earth, because words are spirit. Jesus said, for these things I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. When I speak a word, it is spirit, and spirits are immaterial, but they are creative. Do you know the Bible said that we know by faith that this world was made out of what? Nothing, by the words of God. So it is in the same way that if we open our mouth and praise God, we create that atmosphere for him. And because praise is about who he is, when we say that God is the Almighty, we create that atmosphere of what? Almighty. When we say that God is omnipresent, we create that atmosphere of omnipresent. So anytime the people of God lift up their voice to praise God, what happens is that they create the similitude, or they get the exact who he is at the same place. Are you with me? That is why God dwells in our praise. Because it is only in our praise that we create that exact nature of him. What are some of the things that we say about God? That he said, God is fire. When you say that God is fire, because words are spirit and words have the power to create, you create that kind of element in the spirit realm, and God will dwell in it. Oh, Jesus. As we speak, we create the very attribute of God. We acknowledge him about it. Hence, it attracts God to come to live in it and feel at home, because he came on man's invite to praise him. So anytime we speak, we release those attributes of God. El Elyon, God Most High. The moment you said that word, you have, it's a praise. You have created that attribute of God to come in. It attracts him because man has given an invite. There is a need that man has acknowledged him, that he is what? El Elyon, the God of all, or Most High, the possessor of what? Heaven and earth. So the moment you say that, he comes as a possessor and dwell in that praise. So if you're not somebody who praise God, what they are saying is that you don't create that enabling atmosphere for heaven to invade. That's the weight of ministering unto the Lord. Do you know why God takes pleasure when we minister to him? It's because we create that enabling atmosphere for him to invade his own territory. I pray for you. You see, if we want to receive the president of America, what do we do? You will find out that the nation, the army, everything, the president of America will only come to Ghana when the condition is of his safety is guaranteed, as how he will be in America. Do you know that? There are certain men of God in Ghana here. If you want to invite them to minister for you, you should be ready to create that enabling atmosphere that they feel in their place of abode. Same here. Even women, if we want to receive other colleagues, we make sure that we create that similitude of the abode for them. How much more God? If we are inviting our Father here, we are not going to put him in any place to sleep. We are going to give him a place that befits his comfort, that he can be of himself. If we are inviting the President of America here, the Navy, the airspace, everything, will make sure that it is just like America. How much more God? I tell you, if you lift up your voice and you begin to praise God, what you are doing is that you are creating an enabling atmosphere to receive him in that abode. That is why the Bible says, when the praises goes up, the glory comes down. It is because you have created that enabling atmosphere for God to come and live in it. And you dwell in it. That is why we minister to the Lord. When we minister to him, he comes. And when he comes down, oh, we will get there. Have a lack of shaya. Mando Bosaya. Psalm 149, verse 1 to 4. What did the Bible say over there? Let's read. Our first reading. Let's read again. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with what? Salvation. The reason why the Lord takes pleasure in his people is because his people create that comfort for him to come and live among them. And it satisfies him. Do you want to satisfy God? Praise him. The moment God hears praise, he comes down. I don't know if David was the one who taught Solomon this, that he smoked God and God came out. The guy is smart. The guy had a need, but he knew what to do. He smoked God in heaven and God couldn't take it. He came down. Anytime we praise God, we don't know what to do. We move God from wherever he is. We move him from wherever he is. We move him on his throne, because God is always on his throne. We move God and God comes down. Praise God. I said praise God. Oh, praise God. Do you know that words are so powerful? These things I'm saying is so real, because words are so powerful that David likened the impact of incense to prayer. Psalm 142. Let's look at something about it. Psalm 141 verse 2. Psalm 141 verse 2. Are you being blessed? Are you following? So when we minister to the Lord in prayer, that is worship. When we declare praise, this is what we are doing. That is why in every garden, that's why you praise God. In every garden, let's praise God. Because we want him there. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as what? Incense. Not like he said, as what? Incense. Incense was a physical material that was bent unto God. But David said that when I pray, that prayer replaces incense. In other words, we don't need to build a physical tabernacle to receive God. When God wanted to dwell among the people of Israel, they built a physical tabernacle. But we can replace that tabernacle with our words, that is praise. And God will dwell in. The secret of many great people in the kingdom are people who are what? Worshippers. That's why Jesus said to him, the true worshippers shall worship in truth and in spirit. Because the Lord takes residence in our praise, if we minister to the Lord truthfully in praise, that is a proof. If indeed you have ministered unto the Lord in praise, in worship, there is a proof. And the proof is that we unlock the full manifestation of God. No wonder in the book of Psalm 104, the Bible said, enter his court with praise. Do you know what the court means? Court is the jurisdiction of God, where God sits and rules. It is that place that he's judged, God. When we study about ye are gods, we found out that there is what? A senior God. In that jurisdiction is God. The Bible said that we unlock that full manifestation of God by praise. If you want to enter into the full manifestation of God, to unlock the court of God, where decisions are taken, where the heavenly council is seated, is praise. Therefore, when we praise God, and indeed we have done it truthfully, what we see is that there is a full manifestation of God. And when God manifests, what are some of the signs? Let me give you an example. So when we indeed praise God and we create that enabling atmosphere for God to come inhabit, His kingdom come. So in the model of prayer, when Jesus was teaching them, why did He start with that word? Our Father. Why is He who art in heaven? What was the next day? Praise Him. Hallowed is what? Thy name. And what happened next? His kingdom came. So, and we acknowledge that our Father is not on earth, He's in heaven. But when we hallow His name, He will come down. I pray for you. I don't know whatever situation you find yourself, but I'm showing that there is a form of prayer that we can engage. And all we need is that God will come down. Now let me show some of the manifestation when we hallow the name of God. Some of the manifestation that happens. Let me give you an example. When we fully praise God, when we minister to God in praise, one of the things that God does, and I can't talk about many of them, but I just want to talk about this, is that there is the demonstration of God's power and might beyond comparison. Acts chapter 16, verse 26. Let's start from verse 25. Acts 16, verse 25. What's something? I'm going to show something. Yeah. Veleko Brasaya. Oh, Vilanda Kababa Sataka. And at midnight, what happened? Paul and Silas did what? Prayed. And did what? Sang praises unto God. The Bible was very specific about this. What did they do? They sang praises unto God. And what? And the prisoners what? Heard them. Paul and Silas went and dealt with a young lady who was disturbing them. Cast out the spirit after that young lady. The Bible said that young lady was the breadwinner of the owner. And since they decided to collapse somebody's business, they said they'll teach them a lesson. So after collapsing the man's business, the man made sure that they were arrested. And the Bible said they were kept in the innermost part of the prison. They were kept in the innermost. It means that there is no way out for you. There was nothing they can do. And not only they were kept in the innermost part of prison, the Bible said they were held in chains and feathers. So not that they were kept in the innermost part, they were made sure that there was no movement and restriction. So when the enemy thought that he has finally finished them, they showed the enemy that you can't keep us here. We have a way to unlock. How did they do it? Verse 26. And suddenly, what happened? Why wouldn't there be an earthquake when the Lord of hosts descend? When he came unto Elijah, the Bible said there was an earthquake. Earthquake preceded. It was praise that brought about an earthquake. They knew the mechanism. What follow up? The foundations of the prison. So what the enemy trusted in as his arm of keeping them and thinking that this is how he's going to destroy them, that the Lord shook it. And immediately, because the foundations were shaken and it was destroyed, the Bible said immediately what happened? The prisons were what? Shaken, and immediately all the doors were hot and everyone's banks were hot. I pray for you. When the enemy thinks that he has kept you, see, I'm showing you how to deal with this. All you need is that invite the Lord of hosts. I don't know what kind of praises they sang, but I know the song they sang, and they declared that he's the Lord of army. Yeah. When they kept in prison, he came and showed that me, I set prisoners free. The earthquake was because the Lord came to inhabit in that place. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. When God came down, that's why I said, there are certain things in your life, it is not about you asking God. All you need to do is that invite God in the matter. How do you do it? Praising. That's why people think we are foolish when we are praising God in a difficult time. In the good days, we will praise Him. In the bad days, we what? Why? Because when we praise God, He comes down. the chains were broken. I pray for you. Anytime you lift up your voice to praise God, declare who He is. When you declare the goodness of God, that is thanksgiving. But when you declare who He is, that He's Jehovah or Elohim, Jehovah Adonai. See, when they think that they are going to keep you in hunger, that's why you declare it's Jehovah Jireh. In your place of obedience, He will provide. I pray for you, starting from today. May you benefit from every blessing in praising God. As you are a priest, you minister unto God. May you benefit. The Bible says, as the sun prays unto God, the foundations, there is no force that can keep you if you are somebody who prays God. Nothing can keep you. So the weight of ministering unto the Lord is that when we lift up our voice unto God, He comes down. When He comes down, you can't hold us. You can't hold us. What is keeping you? What is holding you? What is the enemy trusting that he's going to use to destroy you? You know, some of these things, there's no need for you to go and then do. No. Praise God. Praise God. Just praise Him. Create that enabling atmosphere for Him to come down. That's why the Lord has many attributes. Which of the attributes are you calling on? Kavala bro satakaya. Let me give you a second example, then we move on. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 21 to 25. I love this one so much. Watch. Watch this. 2 Chronicles. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil. Oh, you've jumped. Verse 21. Verse 21 to 25. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed us singers unto the Lord. This is unto what? The Lord, not unto man. That's actually this ministry unto what? The Lord. And what happened? And they should what? Look at the church. They should what? Oh, help! They should what? Praise the beauty of what? His holiness. Instructions was. And I'm going to show you why these two scenarios was very effective. I'm going to show you. And they went out before the army. I hope you already know this story. And to say, praise the Lord for His mercies endure at what? You know, in place of judgment, there is mercy. There was judgment that was pronounced upon them. A king pronounced judgment on Joseph and the prophets that I will destroy you. That was judgment. And they know that in place of judgment, mercy can be invoked. So what did they do? They called on the God of mercy. And they told him that your mercy is what? And what happened? That atmosphere was created. He came in that atmosphere. And when God came in, judgment was what? Set aside. And when judgment was set aside, what happened? And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushment against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah. And they were smitten. How people are planning your downfall. You praise God. That's why it's very dangerous to go after the believer. Check the life of David. Do you know why they couldn't get him? He is always praising God. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy. This is where I didn't understand this one. They now decided to help each other to kill each other. Why? Because somebody invited God into the matter. Somebody invited God into the matter. And when God came, confusion everywhere among his enemies' camp. Listen to what I said. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies falling to the earth, and none escaped. I pray for you. I said, I pray for you. Anyone that has sat down to declare your end, raising an army against you, the force of darkness in your family, any human form representing them, who has sat down and has declared that we will destroy you. The Bible says, why do the hurting rage and the kings imagine vain thing? They come together against the Lord and his anointed. But I pray for you. I as we have lifted our voice and ministered unto the Lord, and as you stand up to minister unto the Lord, may it be unto them as it has been unto these people. The Bible said not even a single one of them escaped. Anything that seek your destruction will not escape the destruction of God. I declare in the name of Jesus, as you minister unto the Lord your praise, may God come down and deal with anything that will destroy your life. Said none of them escaped. Was that all? There was prophets on the assignment. What happened? And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, God destroyed them. And see, when the Bible said that the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous, you know how we get it? It's okay. Let me not say much. You are getting a whole lot of it. When the Bible says that the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous, do you know how we get that thing? I hope you can see what I'm seeing there. Just praise God. And see God taking their wealth from their hand and bringing it to you. Not only did God destroy them, the Bible said they made a spoil of them. Don't play with praises. Do you know why these two scenarios, the story of Paul and Silas and the King Jehoshaphat, was very effective? It's because of Psalm 149, verse 5 to 9. Let's read. Watch. Let the saint be joyful in glory. Let them sing loud upon their best. Move on. Let the high praise, you hear what he said? He said, let the what? High praises of God be in their heart, mouth. What happened next? And a two-edged sword in their hands. If you read the Passion Translation, it said, the praise becomes a sword in their hands. What happens? Let's go now. To execute what? Vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people. Move on. Not even kings can escape that. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with what? Feathers of iron. Now, verse 9. Very important. To execute upon them the judgment what? Written. You don't know. See, the Jesus. No wonder resolving spiritual conflict, you start with praise. By the time you are through with praise, there's a written judgment that is already executed on them. Now, the part I like is this. For this honor. Oh, somebody, together, let's go. For what? This what? Honor have all his what? Saints. If you are a saint, there is an honor. And that honor is the weapon of what? Praise. I pray for you. Why we have to praise God? The weight of ministry unto God is that these are some of the things we derive. You see, our fathers didn't tell us why every garden, we didn't understand. But today we know that when we praise God, he comes down. And when he comes down, there's manifestation. There is what? Manifestation. Can we look at when we thank God? Jesus. When we thank him? Thanking God is to make known his deeds among us. We thank God for what he has done for us, what he is doing for us, and what he will do for us. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 8. Jesus. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. The same 1 Chronicles 16, 34 and 35. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is what? Good. For his mercies endureth what? Forever. Let's continue. Psalm 26 verse 7. Psalm 26 verse 7. That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous work. Now, let me tell you why we thank God. The power of thanking God. Why thanking God is ministering to God. This is it. Whenever we thank God, we testify. That is what? Declaring his what? Wondrous work. And this turned out to become our weapon. This turned out to become our what? Our weapon. Revelation chapter 12 verse 11. That was, and they overcame through the testimony. What is testimony? Declaring the wondrous work. Whenever we thank God, what happens is that we gain leverage to overcome. So, whenever we thank God, what we are saying, you see, the reason why it is a leverage, becomes a weapon, is that whenever we thank God, what we are saying is that whatever you have done, whatever you are doing, please don't stop. Whenever we thank God, we legitimize what God is doing. And we are telling that, Father, continue what you are doing. Don't stop. Is that not an invite? So when you thank God for his goodness, what you are saying that, Lord, don't stop being good to me. I have legitimized that one. Let it continue. So God will continue to do good to you because you have asked for it. Are we there? Are you with me? When you thank God for that, for that money he has given you, what you say, Lord, don't stop supplying. Continue. So whenever we stop thanking God, it ceases. How did Jesus feed the 5,000 people? He said, Father, thank you. And it kept multiplying. It kept what? That's what Paul said. We should not be anxious for anything, but what? Through prayer and thanksgiving, let's make our request known. Whenever we thank God, simply put, God, what you have done that I'm declaring, your marvelous work, don't stop. That is how David prevailed over Goliath. He said unto the king, when I was on the desert with my father's flock, the lion and the bear, they come after me, and even the sheep. He said, I go after them and I deliver the lambs from them. He said that if that God, he remembered the marvelous work he did, that God delivered me from the hands of lions, he will surely deliver me. That is the power of thanksgiving. Whenever we thank God, we mean that, Lord, what you have done and you are doing, continue. So if God have been merciful to you, I said, Lord, I thank you for your mercies. What we are saying that, Lord, don't stop, continue. The day you stop thanking God, that is that day you tell God that, Lord, stop, it's okay. That's why the things you have not thanked God for, they don't come back to you again. That is why God has not, the reason why God has not completed many things in the life of many believers is because they stopped thanking God. You want to finish university, but you didn't thank him for your GHS certificate. You want to master's, but what, did you show appreciation? Do you thank God enough for your first degree? Anytime you see a cease or a flow of something in your life, check whether you are thankful enough. Because whenever we thank God, what it means is that we legitimize God to continue in that thing. That is why God can heal people. Let's read the scripture. Maybe let's read. The reason why Jesus questioned the lepers who came to him and he prayed for them, that where was the rest of the nine, was because it's not because God took offense. It's because they ended the process of what God was doing in their life. The actual thing God wanted to do was not to heal them, was to make them whole. Luke chapter 17, quickly. Give me the verse 17 to 19. You see, there are many of us who have truncated God's project in our life because we didn't understand the place of ministering to the Lord in thanksgiving. Many of us, we have truncated Jesus. See, when God said, when Paul said, always thank God, you know why I'm saying? Because your life, even to continue to live, it is because you are thanking God. When you stop thanking God, you are telling God that, Lord, you are, see, these are legal things. Don't joke with them. That is why I said whatever happens on the earth determines how heaven responds. If we don't thank God enough, then we cannot get God continuing what with many things that is doing in our life. I said, check your life. One of the reasons why certain things have ceased happening in your life is because you didn't thank God enough. Do you know why after miracle services we sing songs of praise and thanks? It's not because of that one, so that the next miracle service, if you're a man of God, you don't know this thing, you cease in the flow of that anointing. So when I come to church and I minister, I go back, I go and sit like that. The rest of the week, I thank God. So that because whenever we thank God, what it means is that, Lord, what you have been doing, what you have done, continue. Keep that in your head. Write it somewhere. That anytime you thank God, what you are saying is that, Father, what you are doing, what you have done, carry on, sir. Don't stop. What is it that you want God to do in your life? That's why when we pray, we thank God. That is why we don't talk about it again. Do you know why? Because you do it. Because he has done it before. That is why you thank God more than you ask. Because thanksgiving is the push. God continue. Let's read. And Jesus answered, said, were they not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Now verse 18. They are not found that return to give glory to God. Save this stranger. Now let's continue. Verse 18, 19. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. The rest were healed. Don't truncate the way God is doing in your life because you didn't thank him enough. Thank him. I said, you should do what? It is for your own good. If as a church, we are not thankful to God for how far he has brought us. And that is why when we come to church service, that's why anything we do, because the only way we invite God to continue in that is because that's why when we gather again, we will thank him first before we do anything. So he can continue where he ended. Today, didn't you have an opening prayer? What was it? What are opening prayers for? It's not to thank God. Why are we thanking him? Because we ended somewhere with him last week. We want to continue today. Is that not it? So how do we tell him to continue? Thank you, Father. Thank you for the visitation you visited last week. Thank you for the people you healed. Thank you for the provisions you gave the people last week. When we open our mouth to thank God in prayer, thank you, Father. And we are ministering to him and you will come down. I pray for you. Don't take certain things for granted. Don't take certain things for granted. So Paul has to teach this form of prayer in the first chapter 2, that thanksgiving should be made always, because when we continue in thanksgiving, God also continues his word. That's what David said to the Lord, the dead cannot praise you because they cease to live. They can't thank you. The moment you are dead, you can't thank him. When you die, the work of God has ceased. Is that not it? Yes. So please, don't kill yourself by not thanking God. I said, anything that God is doing in your life, if you don't want it to cease, is it deliverance? Is it escape from death? Is it financial breakthrough? So for me, that is why we give testimony. It is part of thanksgiving. Well, that's why if you don't give testimony, you are truncating what God is doing. You are suffocating it. You see how God will continue to use her, because she came to her testify. And she's grateful that God has done it for somebody. I always thank God for your lives. I always thank God for the very miracles he gives you people. I'm always grateful to God. I thank God for what I am now. Because if I continue in the thanksgiving, he will take me to who I'll become tomorrow. So, in conclusion, when we minister to him through thanksgiving and praise, what happens? Number one, whenever we want to see God in his full glory, all we need to do is to minister to him. There is no any other way out. if we want to see God in his full glory. If we want to see God in his full glory, we minister to him.
Oh.
2 Chronicles chapter 15 verse 13. When the praises goes up, the glory comes down. And God wanted to show himself unto Moses, that Moses will see. Moses said, if I found favor in your sight, show me thy glory. The Bible said the Lord passed by Moses and declaring out his goodness. Praise followed. Whenever we minister to the Lord, first of all, his glory comes down full. But the second thing is that when we minister unto the Lord, our praise and thanksgiving, when we minister unto the Lord, we have access to the mind of God for our life, and the treasures of heaven are open unto us. In the book of Acts chapter 13 verse 2, can we read that one? And they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, did you see he's over there? Now, who is talking now? Assessed. So, all this while, Paul didn't know what God wanted to do for him. Anytime you are in a state of confusion and you don't know the way out, minister unto the Lord. What happened? Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. It was this place that God made his intention known. I want to know the will of God for my life. You can know the will of God for your life when you minister to the Lord. You speak. Do you know why in the typical old Pentecostal churches, those days, when it's time for worship, you worship the Lord and he said, be quiet, and prophecies will flow. Because anytime you minister to the Lord, he makes his mind not known. If you want to know the mind of God, minister unto him. He opened up his treasures unto us. Do you know why? On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came. The Bible said they were out praying unto the Lord. But in the book of Luke chapter 24 verse 52 and 53, we found out that that prayer was that they were out praising the Lord. Whilst they were ministering unto the Lord, open up, and the Spirit came upon them. We must learn to minister to the Lord as priests. Because anytime the priest successfully ministers unto the Lord, God will surely show forth. Secondly, God honors service. I'm telling you. And I want to conclude with this. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 10. Whenever you minister, God honors ministry. Let me show you something. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and what? Labor of love which ye have showed towards his name. You have showed towards his what? Continue. And in that ye have what? Ministered to the what? Saint and do what? Minister. The Bible said it will be an act of unrighteousness on the side of God to forget when we minister to him. Even if we minister to men, he cannot forget it. How much more when we minister to him? Whenever we minister unto the Lord, the mind of God is known. He opens up his treasures unto us and he rewards. So in the book of Matthew chapter 6 verse 5, Jesus taught us that there are some form of prayers God has not answered them, he rewards. Can we read? And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for thou love to pray standing in the synagogue in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have not their reward. But there are some prayers God answers. This one said, prayer out is rewarded. One of the prayers God reward is the prayer what we do as a ministry unto what? Unto him. Let's move on. Verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy father which is in what? Secret. And thy father which seeth in secret shall what? Reward thee openly.
So if there is a form where of prayer that we can minister unto the Lord, that prayer, God said he works.
So there was a day in the book of Genesis chapter 18. I'm wrapping up. Genesis chapter 18 verse 1 to 8. We are going to read something about that. We close. A man called Abraham has received many prophecies from God. He has made prayers unto God. He has called on God for a child. Abraham has done all this stuff. Then one day, Genesis chapter 18, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of what? Mamre. Is it Mamre, right? And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. Let's continue. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself towards the ground. Verse 3. And said, my Lord, if now I found favor in thy sight, pass not away. I do what? I pray thee from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched and wash your feet and rest yourself under the tree. This is Abraham talking to God. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your heart. That is ministering unto what? The Lord. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast what? God does not reject ministry unto him. God will never reject it. When his priests who have dedicated themselves, who have, as we said in the book of Ezekiel, who have sanctified themselves, consecrated themselves, minister unto him, he never, that one, whatever you want to offer him, he will take it. He could have said, oh, Abraham, he didn't tell Abraham. But Abraham read and said, Lord, let me give you water, wash your feet, get you bread, something to eat, then you can continue. He said, whatever you have said, carry on. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly three measures of what? Fine meal. Knead it and make cakes upon the heat. Let's go. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf and tender and good and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to what? Dress it. Verse 8. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree and they eat. That is sort ministering unto people, catering service. He stood by them, attending to their needs. Now you watch verse 9. And when they said unto him, where is Sarah, thy wife? Is Sarah here? Yeah, okay. And he said, behold, in the tent. Verse 10. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee. Because whatever Abraham has done to God, God enjoyed it. He said, I'll certainly return unto thee. According to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife. Listen to this one. This one, it is time what? Bound. Sarah thy wife shall have a son. God rewards ministry. Let me minister to you. So if Abraham didn't minister unto the Lord would have passed by, and a year by that time, Sarah may have not heard. Whenever we go to a place of prayer, make sure that you have ministered enough unto the Lord before you seek for him to minister to you. We can minister healings unto people. This is for our own benefit. If we want God to attend to us, we must minister enough unto God. Praise God that he will come and inhabit in that place, and then see the full manifestations of God. Thank God enough and see God continuing what he has started in your life. So when Paul said, I am confident of this very thing, that he that has started the good works in you shall bring it into a perfect in Christ Jesus. He knew it because he has already instructed them in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18, that always thank God. When we always thank God, we can be confident that the very thing that God has started in our life, he will bring it to a perfect. And I pray for you. There are many things that God has started in some of your life. I see greatness upon all levels. God is lifting many of you into higher places. But if you do not cultivate the habit of ministering
ministering unto the Lord, then you yourself are going to truncate it. Because along the road are perils. There are people that are set to come after you, just as they came after Silas and Paul. Then what will be your way out when those times come? What will be your way out when those difficult moments come? Your way out is that you will do what they did. You will lift up your voice and begin to praise God and see the foundations of the things that is holding you up being shaken and being broken. I am telling you that there are perilous times ahead of us. There are difficult times ahead of us. Some of us, our projects have been held because of the economy. Some of us, many things is holding us back. But I'm here to tell you, if you minister unto the Lord shall return it back unto you. And when they ministered unto the Lord at that midnight, in the pace they went through, the Bible said the chains that held them was broken.
Weren't it 9-10 people who were healed?
Where are the other 9?
Are you part of the one who came to thank God and had his wholeness? Or are you going to be the ones who were only healed? I said, when you minister unto the Lord will minister unto you. You may not have substance to give unto the Lord. That is not all. You can minister to the Lord from your heart. Praise and thanksgiving. Shall we rise unto our feet this morning and minister unto the Lord? Put aside your worry. Put aside your worry. When Abraham saw God, Abraham was barren. He was not having a son. But that was not what Abraham was looking forward to. He saw that, let me minister unto my master. The Bible said, when the Lord was done eating, he said, where is Sarah? A year by this time she will give birth. And so it was in scripture.
So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.